Mr. Weedy?
Yes, sir.
Before, I mean, to me, this part's closed, but one of the commission members has the booklet with the color pictures.
Think that would be me?
I need that.
Oh, I'm sorry, no, it's not me, not colored pictures.
Did the one with the colored pictures.
I got, I don't have it. You got it?
The pants are back down.
We go. All right. Our next public hearing is conditional use 1681 W. Edward Metz.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a campground with area for boat and RV storage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Georgetown 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 59.866 acres, more or less, lying east of Shingle Point Road, also known as Road 249, and being across from Road 253. You got that one? You want one back? For the benefit of the record and for the Planning and Zoning Commission, for a little bit larger, I do have copies of the same site plan that's in the booklet for the purpose of review. Again, earlier this week, the applicants provided us with a booklet. Booklet contained a site plan, proposed conditions, proposed rules and regulations for the campground, references to the comprehensive plan, references to the state strategies, copies of the plus comments and the response, 8 letters of support from neighboring homeowners, a copy of the tax map, a little article on Keystone Cabins for informational purposes, some cabins that are proposed within the campground, federal wetlands jurisdictional determination, and also a pond status from the Corps of Engineers. That is a part of the record. All the commissioners have copies. Also received a, and it's probably part of the booklet, but I'll reference it anyway, from the Department of Transportation in the form of a support facilities report dated April 13th of 2005. We find that the applicants did go before DLDOT for a support facilities report. The present level of service, the level of service A, a traffic impact study was not recommended. Under a fully developed site, the level of service could increase from level of service A to level of service B. The information that was provided to the department was that a campground was proposed. We also received a letter or memorandum from the planning division of the County Engineering Department. It was dated today, March 22nd. Makes reference to the site, the location, the intended use, the size of the parcel. The site is not within a county-operated and maintained sanitary sewer and/or water district. It is located within the North Coastal Planning Area. As far as comments, they state that an individual on-site wastewater system is proposed to serve the proposed campground. The project is within the North Coastal Planning Area, but is not in an area where Sussex County expects to provide sewer service in the foreseeable future. The county requires the design and construction of the collection and transmission system to county requirements. A review and approval of the collection, treatment, and disposal system by the County Engineering Department is required, and plan review fees may apply. A concept plan that includes the wastewater collection and treatment system must be submitted to the engineering department for review and approval. A checklist for preparing the concept plan is attached. And it does again say a concept plan is required. This was signed by Rob Davis for John Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. The reference to the checklist being provided, it was not attached to this comment. And that's all I have at this time, gentlemen.
All right, sir. We thank you, Mr. Lank. Mr. Willard, I believe you're up again.
Yes. I represent the applicants in this case. It's Tim Willard, Fuqua and Yuri here in Georgetown.
The applicant in this case is Edward Metz. Mr. Metz is right here. He's lived on Briarwood Road, which is just off Shingle Point, northwest of Georgetown, since 1939. Prior to that, he worked or lived in Harbison, and he used to work down the Oak Orchard water plant down there, I think. To his left is his son, Mike. He doesn't own the property, but if this moves forward, he and his wife, Marty, are going to be very involved in it. This is a conditional use. This is a conditional use for a campground. There's approximately total of 60 acres on the property. The proposal for the conditional use is just from this line back, and that's what we're asking for. We're not asking for anything up front. I think that's important. And if you look at the phase two, we may be back in a long time if we get moved forward. But right now, we're not asking for you to approve anything here. We're just asking for this acreage back here to develop it for a campsite area. I'm gonna go through the book just like I did, because I think that's how I'd like to organize the presentation. It's a little different though, because I think I'd like to start with the site plan in this regard. The AR1 district, specifically 151-22, says that this area for conditional use, AR1, it should be considered for parks and campgrounds, and that's what we're pursuing. 151-171, the conditional use statute H, paragraph H, gives you a specific list of 9 items in which, if you grant a conditional use, that they should meet. And I'd just like to run through those to the extent they're the statutory requirements. The entrance should be onto a public road. As you can see, there's just one entrance onto the public road. That's Shingle Point Road. I may talk about it a little bit later. You may ask, well, why didn't that line up with Briarwood? We went through PLOS on this, although it's a conditional use and otherwise maybe not required, because there are over 50 sites. It was recommended to go through before PLOS, and we did. One of the comments was to move the entrance north, and we've done that. Or Mr. Adams, I should have introduced Mr. Adams. He's seated by his plan, and he'll be available for questions. But that was done. Your requirement, 151-178-1H, requires that the entrance into a campground be on a public road. It is. The sites are on all internal roads. They are. And the internal roads are 30 feet, and they are. It requires proper draining. In this case, later in the book, you'll see that there was a complete wetland study done. The wetlands were located, one, back portion here. This pond's got an interesting history, and there was a whole evaluation done with the Corps, a package sent to the Corps evaluating that, and the Corps denied jurisdiction of it, but there are low points here and here, and that's where we're proposing the stormwater. As to item four, the campsite should be 400 feet from any dwelling and 100 feet from a roadway. That's clearly met here. I think the Whalen House is up here, and there's easily 400 feet back to here. I think it's 1,920 just to the property line where we're asking to begin the conditional use. The campsites, and I forgot the exact number of them. They're all these sites in the rear, and they're designated. Your statute calls for them being 2,000 square feet. They're 2,400, all of them, so they're bigger than the requirement. They're 60 by 40. Your statute requires they be 40 feet wide, and there are. Your statute requires that there be a 50-foot buffer around the entire campground, and there is. Most of this is woods, and this is actually the Gladfeld or Polk wood. There's nothing back here but the wood. This is woods and the Whalen property north. The statute also says they should the site shall not be sold, and they will not be. They're just planning to rent these seasonally. In fact, their plan, and you'll see the proposed conditions as well as the rules they propose, that the campsite will only be open for residents between April 1 and November 1. So it'll just be seasonal. They're hoping they'll get some people that'll rent the whole summer with their RVs, and some maybe on shorter terms, but that's the idea. The property will be served by Central Water. There's a well on that on the property. Again, this project will have to go through site plan, agency approval, and the Division of Water will have to approve the central system. The property will also be served by a central commercial DENREC-approved wastewater treatment plant. Mr. Adams might be able to talk more about that. There will be two bathhouses on the property, but to the extent there are RVs that hook up, there will be that central sewage system that will be provided once and if it's approved. And right now, they've designed the dumpster and holding tank area for this area right here. The statute also allows for a small retail community. The idea, I guess, there is maybe to encourage it to make the property more independent, so people come there to camp, they might not need to leave. The design includes a community center here, which could have a retail, you know, sell firewood or maybe some other things. The management office here. There's a bathhouse planned for there, as well as another holding station, a pool, playground, and recreation pavilions there, and two recreation fields there. This pond also should be a source of recreation and may in fact be stocked. If you can learn in a lot more detail about the pond based on the engineer's proposal to the Corps of Engineers, and later in this book there's a that information. The project just should serve campers. The 170 sites should be designed to serve campers like RVs that come in, that could plug in. There should be electric at each site. And there's also an area up here for 21 cabins. They're very small. They're about 13 by 6, I think. And if you look at tab, these cabins will be temporary to the extent they're on skids and they can be removed. They won't be put on foundations at all. They're designed just for campgrounds. And I'll jump ahead a little bit. At tab 9, you can see their plan for the Keystone cabins. They're 13 by 20. And they just be designed for sleeping. So the plan does meet your statute as far as the conditional use. You have in tab 1 a closer lookup, and I know some of you have the color one and the bigger one, but you can see that the area, in fact, that is designed for the campground is wooded, and it's the applicant's intention to preserve all the woods, because that obviously will be a feature that will enhance the camping experience. I've included, again, proposed conditions, and I'm going to go through those because they are important. The conditional use shall be subject to county site plan and all regulatory approvals. The campground shall occupy approximately 40 acres and have 172 designated campsites and 21 designated cabin sites consistent with the site plan submitted with the conditional use application. The campsites and cabin sites and other amenities shall be served by central on-site sewer and water as approved by DENREC and the Division of Water Resources. The campsites shall be occupied seasonally only from April 1st to November 1st. All campers and trailers occupying the campsites must be movable, must be camping capable, and must have camping features. All roads will be gravel and meet Sussex County standards for campsites. The campsites for cabins shall be portable and on skids, which will be anchored and or strapped to the ground. The cabins will be no more than 400 square feet and will be 30 feet apart. The cabins will be for sleeping only with electric window AC units, small fridge and microwave. All campsites will be a minimum of 2,400 square feet. The campground shall include a temporary portable office as located on the site plan. Other amenities include a management center, small laundry facility, game room, bathhouse, playground, four pavilions, in-ground swimming pool, and a recreation field for tennis court and basketball. And they're all located on the plan, and I think I pointed most of them out. In addition, a pond with vegetated buffer will be located and maintained with DENREC's approval on the campsite. The site will include security lighting throughout the facility. Stormwater management, erosion, and sediment control shall be constructed in accordance with the applicable state and county requirements. One sign shall be located near the entrance to the campground, identifying the campground. Sites will be marked by numbers. In addition, the amenities shall be identified with signs on or near the facility. All occupants of the facility shall be subject to the rules and regulations of the campground. The campground shall be served by one entrance onto County Road 249 Shingle Point Road, and the entrance shall be subject to the entrance permit approved by Delta. I've also included the rules and regulation proposed by the Mets. I won't take the time to read all of them, but I think if you review them, you will see that it's their intention to run a quality campground for families, you know, that want to enjoy the facility and the outdoors. As far as, you know, what can go on there, as far as campfires, alcohol, things like that. And that's in tab three. As to the appropriateness of this development in this area, I point to your comprehensive plan. This is in a low density area, and usually I'm sort of swimming upstream as far as that designated area, but in fact your low density area recognizes recreational facilities for that area, and we would submit to you that this is a recreational facility that's consistent with enjoying the outdoors. And also the state strategies plan, which in this case is a level four that I'm usually fighting against for various reasons, their language in their level four, which we know is an area where they don't want to spend a lot of money and put infrastructure, they say that the area is appropriate for large recreational areas. We wouldn't suggest that this is large, but it's not small necessarily. It's a fairly large undertaking, but it is a recreational activity. They went through pluses. I previously mentioned. I'll just highlight some things in there, and we responded. And I don't know if in your book you have our response, and I'll give that to Mr. Lank or Mr. Robertson, because that it wasn't in my book, and I think that was an oversight where the tab says there's the plus letter and there's our response. But in highlighting some of the plus comments, one we always like to see from the state strategies offices, because of the proposal is for seasonal campground, which is not out of character with rural surroundings, we have no objection to this proposal. And the one I like perhaps best of all was from the Division of Historic and Cultural Affairs, who says they are not opposed to this development investment level four. The proposed RV camp will be almost entirely hidden in the woods and thus will not have an adverse effect on the historic agricultural landscape and will not have a visual effect on nearby 19th century dwelling. There will be not much change into the noise levels for that property either, since most of the vehicles will be approaching from the south. And I've already indicated that Mr. Brockenbaugh's original comment was, if you can't line it up with Briarwood, that is the entrant, move it north, and we have done that. Some of the other comments are the comments you expect reference preserving trees and things like that, and they certainly we're going to do everything in our intention if this is allowed to go forward to submit that and comply with their suggestions in our site plan. The Mets have also talked to several of their neighbors about this and prepared a document petition, if you will, indicating that we have seen the plans for the campground on Shingle Point Road, which is owned by Mr. Metz, Edward Metz, and we have no objection to this conditional use being granted. And that's tab 7. You have one from, I may butcher the names a little bit. It looks like the Cordrys, the Fallons, the Hugheses, the Storts, the Reales, and I apologize if they're here and I'm not getting their name, the Whalens. I'm going to forget them and the Dodos. And if you look at tab 8, where you see.
I'm sorry, I'm just chuckling because he was in your building for years.
Yeah, I know. I hear a lot of stories about Mr. Whalen and his fudge. He spoke French, didn't he? If you go to tab 8, the highlighted areas indicate those areas that correspond with the favorable response from the neighbors. So you see Mr. Whalen's property to the north is highlighted. Then across the street, if you turn the page, there's a small subdivision right across the street, and most of those neighbors that have signed those petitions anyway didn't seem to have a problem with it. They obviously didn't contact everybody, and there may be people here that, you know, have concern. I've already spoke of the cabins. I'm not going to go through in detail the letter to Mr. Metz in reference to the wetlands, but if you have specific questions about the site, it's already been done, the wetland evaluation by Evelyn, and they've designated the areas, and you have the topo in the back, which indicates the pond, and also in tab 11, you can see that Ms. Moormeyer did her work by contacting the Corps in reference to this pond, and they declined jurisdiction on it. So for all those reasons, I think this is appropriate conditional use for low density level 4. It also will provide the Metzes with an economic opportunity, quite frankly, to stay where they are and try to improve this land and make a go out of it. So, Mr. Metz, you want to come forward just for a sec? You hear me go on and on?
Yes.
Excuse me, sir. I need you to introduce yourself, please. Your name and address for the record.
Edward Metz, Georgetown area.
Very good. Okay, Mr. Willard.
You heard what I said to the commission in my application. Yeah, is that sure a fair did. Representation of what you want to do out there?
Everything's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
You have a seat.
All right, sir. We appreciate your presentation. We'll see if there are any questions for you. I'm sorry, were you done?
Yeah, I am done. For me or Mr. Adams is available also.
Oh, okay. We see him there if we need him. Do you have anything to add? Did you want to have anything to add?
I'll answer any questions.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
You're up.
is it Will? Willard? Willard?
It's not Waylon.
Okay. I did not have benefits of your response to the plus comments, but the one question I do have from the plus comments that I did read was had to do with a cemetery. Is that on this site or not?
No.
Well, yeah, it's. I don't believe it is, and Mr. Metz probably knows better than anybody else. But my response to them is, and I sent this recently because. The DHEA is not opposed to this proposal. In fact, the division, and I tell them what they told me that was good about the project, and tell the Division of Historical and Cultural Affairs, if any cemetery is found, the applicant will provide protection and access, and we certainly would put that same language in our conditions.
So you will be conducting a survey of the property to determine that?
We'll do what they say is necessary. They I mean, in their language, and I've had other projects with cemeteries, it was pretty vague. You know, Mr. Metz seems to believe that there is no cemetery on there, but if the project moves forward, they'll have to do due diligence to determine that.
My next question has to do with the sewage treatment system and how you would anticipate that, you know, disposal on this property or...
Chuck, you want to take that one?
Charles Adams with Adams Kemp, Georgetown. And we've contacted Byron Jefferson Engineering Services, who has done campgrounds in the area. He's familiar with the different types of submissions that go with the county submission. So with the collection system, the treatment system, and the disposal on the fields in the front through underground disposal fields.
Okay.
That's how it's to be done.
Thank you. With the units that you're on, you know, the seasonal units and that sort of thing, would they be allowed to remain on site or do they have to be removed from the site?
I had that discussion with the Metzes, and I think it's, and correct, one of you guys might want to step up to this. I think it's anticipated that the tenants would be allowed to keep their RVs on site, but I'm not. Is that these guys do a lot of camping, so they know how it works in some of these facilities. So.
Yes, usually.
Marty, you got to come up and say who you are.
Hi, Marty Metz from Georgetown. Yes, the seasonal sites, usually the campers stay right there on the site year-round, even though it's only open April 1st to November 1st. The camper will stay there. Okay.
But we've included the language in the proposed conditions indicating that they have to be registered, mobile, I think I read it. And that was for a very specific purpose because there are campgrounds that are abused, And, you know, the next thing you know, they're sort of squatting and putting foundation, and they don't want that at all. They want people that can get out of there if they want them out of there. So.
And while you're up there, Mrs. Metz, have you had any conversations with Sports at the Beach in terms of what their sports schedule currently is and how that might fit in with your schedule as one you want to open and close?
Right. No, we have not spoken to them about that.
It might be something you might want to consider, you know, in the event they start in March or
right.
I'm not sure what their schedule is either, but I think I've seen enough RVs out there that it certainly would be a positive thing for both organizations. And no further questions.
Our answer, thank you. Mr. Burden?
No questions.
Mr. Gordy?
Only one I have, Mr. Willard. I was looking at the wetlands determination, and it was done in 2001. Was that for specifically for the campground, or is that for agricultural use?
You come on up, and Mr. Metz, if you would, please, because they got to get it on the record.
Yeah. Originally, it was for agriculture.
It was, because it says here in one of the pictures that there's 1,400 to 1,900 feet in length of approximately 740,000 width of woodsland, and that you were going to clear the wood for agriculture use.
I originally started for that.
So you won't be carrying, you won't be cutting down trees for many trees for this, and not as many.
The front area has recently been tilled in corn, I think, right?
Yes.
Just the front and that.
But with this campground, you're going to be able to save some trees.
Oh, absolutely.
That's all I have.
All right, sir. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Willard, or Mr. Adams, the roads indicates will be gravel. Will there be some type of traffic calming that could alleviate dust caused by the vehicles as they travel within the site?
As far as I know, they will start up to be gravel roads. If at some time in the future they feel they can afford to pave the roads, then they would be paved at that time. But they will have to be substantial enough to have good-sized travel trailers and mobile, you know, units coming and going without dust and without getting stuck.
My question, will you employ something like speed bumps or other to keep
this? We haven't
those?
Intended to use speed bumps in this case.
That's certainly a condition. I don't know what the technology is for such things, but speed bumps, signs, anything, you know, they certainly would do that. It's probably a very good suggestion.
I find it hard to drive 5 miles an hour without some kind of speed bump, but that's me. And Mr. Willard, the commission recently struggled with a rather large unimproved area that was an attachment to a prior conditional use, that being an application that was on Minas Conway Road. I was wondering if you could, not so much for the benefit of this application, but possibly for the benefit of a Planning and Zoning Commission in the future, could you give us something on the record tonight that would be a guidance that we could know, or the future commission would know, what phase two will more fully entail, please?
Well, they have indicated, or we have indicated on the plan, consisting of 30 sites, an area of boat and RV storage in the front. That was the intention, you know, and I've gotten to know the project fairly recently. That may change the intention. The benefit of having that buffer is the benefit to the neighbors and the residents, the benefit also to the campers to isolate them. So I can't put any more meat on the bones as far as their intention there. But I mean, the one thing is clear is if they want to do anything up there, you know, expand their use or anything, they will be coming back before the commission to ask for it.
As an amendment to this conditional use or as a separate conditional use?
Well, it's probably kind of academic. I don't know what, if you have a provision for amending a conditional use. I guess you do.
You could. I guess I want to get clear, what's the land that's the subject of this conditional use? Is it just because you made that statement? I just
here's a line. it says baseline, and we're applying, and I think it's 40 acres, and the tree is actually there. This is not subject to our application or your approval. If we want to do anything more with this land at all, we would have to come back and apply to the appropriate agency. Mr. Lang's shaking his head.
About the 30 RV.
The application states that you're applying for the whole 59 plus acres. It also makes reference to an area set aside for boat and RV storage. So you're already, whether you want to call it phase two or a future phase, it's part of your application, so you need to address it. Because you wouldn't have to come back and reply if you're to show us or tell us how you're going to operate phase two.
Well, perhaps, Marty, you're one more involved in this. You can go ahead and do that, what your intention is, because all we have said to them is consisting of 30 sites and area of boat and RV storage.
Right, and mainly that would be all we would have there is the boat and RV storage. I mean, there's 30,
and 30 sites.
Additional. There could be plans for additional sites, depending on how well the other takes off.
But what I'm saying that for is that it says phase two consists of 30 sites and area for boats and RV storage. And it was advertised that way so that
right.
You covered everything you were applying for.
We're now, yes. I mean, we wouldn't do that now, but yes, we would like to do that in the future.
That clarifies. Site plan will correct it.
I guess if there's any inconsistency between the applicant's representation and mine is simply that if you have concerns with the lack of the specifics there, that they're willing to concede that portion, I think, but and come back before you. You understand what I'm saying? They would have to come back for site plan.
I wasn't trying to correct you. I was just trying to state that the application was for the whole parcel, and it included that in the advertisement. So you're already covered.
That's fine.
You need to address it.
Okay.
But you said it was going to be another phase that you'd apply for later. You don't have to.
Perhaps I should just
strike that comment.
Yeah. Less is more, right? Any other questions?
Okay. Mr. Lang, you have anything else?
Just for clarification, you say dumpsters, and then there's two places where it says holding stations. I'm assuming that is a dump station for the camper to dump its affluent. Is that right? Okay. They shook their heads. Is that a good enough?
Yes. Mr. Adams tells me.
It's less is more.
The other question I had was in your conditions, you say temporary portable office. And I need to know what that portable office is. Is it one of the cabins, or is it a mobile home, or what?
No, it'd probably be like one of the trailers that has wheels on it, the job-type trailers for just the start.
Why don't you use a cabin? Use a trailer. What I'm saying is if you use a mobile home-type structure, even though it's in a campground, you have to go to the Board of Adjustment to use it. So you have to have a special exception to use a mobile home-type structure for a business. So if you use one of the cabins, you wouldn't have to do that.
As an office. Okay. That would be fine.
So, cabin. That's all I have.
Okay.
Mr. Counts?
Less is more.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Roberts?
None for me either.
All right, then, Mr. Willard, we thank you. We'll see if anyone here has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use 1681 W. Edward Metz? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use 1681? Anyone on the commission have any questions?
Question.
Yes, sir.
The site plan shows a lot of trees. Those trees actually there, you're going to have to plant them.
A lot of them have to be planted.
You have to come up. I know, because the front is clear, so all that would have to be planted.
There's no trees out at front.
Right. Now, being looking at the site.
The circumference would have to be planted.
Right, so the perimeter would be planted. How about in the back when you get past the tree line that's in front of the pond? There's not that many trees back there.
Just take out what we have to, is what we planned on. And if it doesn't work out, we have to take some out. We'll probably be putting some back.
So I just want to get clear. You are going to have to landscape a good portion of that property.
Yeah.
Does the property line on both ends, north and south. Is that basically cleared up to the property line, and the wooded areas are on neighboring properties?
I don't quite follow you on that now.
The property line next to Mr. Whalen.
Yes.
Is that wooded on his side of the property or on both sides?
His is wooded. Ours is tillable back to about the line that's drawn across there.
Okay. And the south side, the same thing. You have the woodlands on the south side. So you are...
Gladfelder.
There would have to be some planting on basically the perimeter of the property at least.
Yes, on his side and out on the road.
Okay, thank you.
All right, then. We'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may call the office in the morning.